Welcome to TFL's Capital Connection, your insider source for both the policy work and the ministry work going on at the Iowa Capitol. Today, however, we have a very special episode because we're talking about something across the street from the Iowa Capitol. We're talking about what's going on at the Iowa State Supreme Court. If you've been to downtown Des Moines, you know that they're both up there on Capitol Hill, but there's a street that separates them, two beautiful buildings up on Capitol Hill. And we have a special guest with us, Ryan Benn, who is our policy director. But let me tell you, Ryan Benn is especially qualified today to talk to us about what's going on at the Iowa State Supreme Court, and one case in particular, Iowa's abortion law, the heartbeat law. But Ryan is especially qualified to talk to us today for three reasons. Number one, he is a former clerk at the Iowa State Supreme Court. Number two, he was at the Iowa State Supreme Court this past Thursday when oral arguments were heard in the heartbeat case. And number three, he is also the author of an extensive piece that you can find. I say extensive because it's detailed, but it's not really that long. He did a good job of being succinct and to the point. A piece on our website, thefamilyleader.com, that breaks down where we are today on abortion law in Iowa, how we got to where we are today. And let's talk just for a minute, Ryan, about where we are today.
Sure.
Something big happened on Thursday. Let's start there, and then we'll go back into the history of how we got there. So tell us what happened on this past Thursday.
Yeah, so on Thursday, we had oral arguments in the second heartbeat case. So there's a heartbeat case last year about the heartbeat law that was passed under Governor Reynolds, and second one this summer because last year's case was not a success for the pro-life cause. But we're back after they had a special session last summer, passed a new heartbeat law, so we're back at the Supreme Court. Some briefs have been filed already. The judges have read those briefs, and then there's just one day set, about an hour time frame set for oral argument, so both sides can make their arguments orally, and the judges can ask questions, and that's what happened on Thursday.
Yeah, so when we're talking about the heartbeat case, what we're talking about is the law that was passed in Iowa originally back in 2018, had to be repassed again in special session. That was just last year?
Yeah, last July.
Just last July, a special session to pass Iowa's heartbeat law. And what that law is essentially is saying that when a child in the womb, when her heartbeat can be detected, her life should be protected. It's that simple. That's where Iowa's law, I would argue, should stand today, but legal cases were brought against it. It was enjoined. Is that the right
term? Yeah. Yep. There's a temporary injunction. So it was enjoined. I don't know why they made those words so different, but
It's not in effect right now, but it could be if the Supreme Court would essentially lift that injunction.
Correct.
So what happened was, on Thursday, oral arguments, which means the lawyers come together, you said for about an hour, they make their case.
Yep.
And then what do the judges do?
After that's over, they go back to their nice little conference room back in chambers, and they just kind of see where each other stand. They kind of take a preliminary vote and see how... just talk about how they want to settle the case. At this point, there's already a writer of the case signed. Assuming that writer is in the majority, I mean, they'll discuss it, and people that aren't writing will give their suggestions. But if that writer's not in the majority, they'll have to pick a new writer for the majority opinion. And they'll conference probably two or three more times in the next few weeks. But at this point, they think they know where they stand, and they're working on writing the opinion. So
eventually that opinion to be released, when do we expect?
Probably in June. They always push, when it's a high-profile case, it gets pushed back pretty far. So June 30th, I believe, is the last day of their term. And so that's probably the day we should expect the opinion to come out. So,
all right. So let's go back there to that basic point, that the court case it was tried, and we're hoping to hear in June where things stand in abortion law here in Iowa. That will be a major determining factor. So an item of prayer for those who are listening to join us in prayer that life would be upheld, the abortion law would be, the heartbeat law would be upheld, life would be protected here in Iowa. But some of you may be asking, and I completely understand why, How did we get here? Why has it taken so long? What's the holdup? We're hearing reports from all across the country. This state is moving on abortion. This state is moving on abortion. And if you remember here in Iowa well enough, back in 2018, we were the leaders on abortion. The state of Iowa was one of the first states to pass a heartbeat law. At the time, it was the strictest abortion law in the country, and we were celebrating, and we were excited, and it was fantastic. Iowa was a leader in the country, and now, yet still, we're looking at abortion legal in Iowa up through 20 weeks. Other states have passed much stricter protections. We heard a report just recently, the state of Texas, they're seeing a baby boom, 10,000 babies born in Texas that under the old law would have certainly perished through abortion. And here in Iowa, we're still stuck. What's going on, Ryan? You wrote the kind of the article on it. Take us back to 2018 when Iowa passes the first heartbeat law. Governor Reynolds signs it into law. Yep. Why is it not law today?
Well, it was immediately enjoined by a court. And then actually shortly after it was signed by Governor Reynolds, the Iowa Supreme Court at that time, much different judges than are on there right now. They had a different abortion case that was up before them, and they were deciding what the standard on the Iowa Constitution would be as far as how they would review the constitutionality of an abortion law. And at that time, the decision they released was dreadful. It was I think it was the worst in the country at the time. They said abortion is a fundamental right. They did not even put any I guess exceptions or limits on that. So presumably up through birth.
It's an important point to be remembered. Some of you, again, may recall this point in history when we were so excited about heartbeat law being passed, and then the Iowa State Supreme Court just came and issued a doozy. I mean, it was worse than a gut punch.
Yeah.
Basically saying, no, not only will Iowa not protect life, but we will say that abortion is such a fundamental right that you can't even pass laws to try to protect life.
Yeah.
And if that would have held, eventually, after a few more court cases and maybe a few more switches in the legislature, we would have seen abortion legal in Iowa through all 9 months of pregnancy, elective abortion, no restrictions, no parental notification, taxpayers paying funded for it. We would have been the most leftist, the most permissive, if you will, abortion state in the country if that Supreme Court case would have held.
Yeah. People think of Roe versus Wade as the big bad abortion case, but I mean, that was national. This one was actually worse.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So
thankfully, however, something happened. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So there's been a few more cases since then. So after that horrible activist court decision in 2018, there started to be some turnover with the justices on the court. Kim Reynolds came into office, and she's done a really good job appointing judges. There's been some retirees. I think there was at least one death on the court. So she's got to appoint several justices now. And then more abortion cases as our legislature started to pass more laws, like a couple waiting periods. So if you're going to get an abortion, you have to wait, X number of hours. So those cases worked their way up to the Supreme Court, and we started to see some success. Finally, in 2022 was the biggest. We finally had opportunity to overturn that 2018 court case that was awful, and we did it in 2022, overturned that case. But it was kind of a strange outcome because the court said, well, no, abortion's not a fundamental right, because of...
Hold on just a second. Before we get to the strangeness of it, because it does get strange at this point. But I just want to point out, those of you who are praying, those of you who are trusting God, those of you who are asking God to move, to work, to save babies' lives, I think we've already seen a tremendous movement. And that is because we had a court that was locked pro-abortion. They were activists. I'll be honest, I don't think they cared two whits about the law or precedent. A little bit of my political opinion coming in there. But they moved the law, moved heaven and earth to open up the courts or open up the floodgates to abortion in Iowa. And then we saw justices pass away. We saw justices resign, and you mentioned we saw a governor appoint justices who were more faithful to jurisprudence and originalism in particular. And we saw a legislature who continued to work, even though some of the laws they were passing under that dreadful decision would likely be struck down. They worked to pass laws to challenge that dreadful position by the court, opinion by the court. And then we got to see something that almost never happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you stopped me because I just...
Okay. So let's begin with which is... We run out of... Okay. So I just made the big point about how it's miraculous that they overturned a previous decision. And you say,
yeah, I'm glad you stopped me because I kind of skimmed over 4 years there of, you know, there's like three court cases, a bunch of laws passed. So I went too fast. And there was a lot of work during that time. Don't want to forget about that. So, but yeah, and, in 2022, finally overturned that horrible court case. They said, the court said there's no fundamental right to an abortion. They looked back at, you know, the text of the Constitution, you know, as you would think you would do. And you look back at history and found out that, oh wait, abortion was completely illegal for over 100 years at the start of Iowa.
Hard to call it a fundamental right when it's been banned for 150 years.
When, the Constitution. Yes. When the people who wrote the Constitution, they all voted to ban it. So, got rid of that part, but it was odd because the court just stopped. Like they said, no, it's not a fundamental right, but then they didn't go further and say what it is. You know, how do we decide the next case that comes up? They kind of left open because the court was split.
This was the quirky one. Now there's seven justices on the Supreme Court,
right.
And one of the justices, Oxley, I believe the name is.
So this is actually not the one she was recused on. That's the next one. I get them confused too, though. So yeah, there's three justices who weren't ready to say what the new standard should be. There's two that said, well, it should be just like any other law, rational basis, which is our position as well. And there's two justices who said, no, it's a fundamental right. So there's a big split. They couldn't decide on what it's going to be. And then we move on to the next court case after that, which was the first heartbeat case. So after we had that good ruling, Governor Reynolds, she thought, okay, well, now that that's out of the way, we can try to enforce the heartbeat law we passed. And so she went to the court to ask them to remove the injunction that was stopping that. And the court said no. And so we went to the Supreme Court again. And that was last year. You want me to, should I keep rolling here?
Okay, so you went back to, you're doing fine. Okay. But we went back to the Supreme Court, and this is the one where Oxley was recused, yes?
Yes, now we're the one we have a justice recused herself because...
Which basically means voluntarily steps aside.
Yeah, just didn't take part in deciding the case because the firm that she was at before she was a justice was representing one of the parties.
And that's a fairly standard practice when that's the circumstance. So, not throwing any mud at her at all. She recused herself, common practice. And then she only had six justices trying that case.
Right.
And what happened?
And six is an even number.
It is.
the Harvey case was up on what's called a writ of certiorari, which I forget what the Latin means, but it's pretty much when the court can say if they're going to take the case or not. So the court could say, we'd rather not decide that right now. Or they could say, oh yeah, sure, we'll decide that right now. It's discretionary. And so there were three justices who wanted to kind of kick the can some more down the road and not decide it again. And so it was split 3-3. But we did get three justices to write and say that rational basis is the proper standard. So we were one vote closer in that opinion to the rational basis standard, which is what we want.
And is that the case where the justices said the legislature kind of sort of didn't mean it?
Yes, that was that. So the three that didn't want to decide it kind of had put their political glasses on for a minute and talked about why they didn't want to decide it. And one of the reasons they listed was that, well, we don't know if the legislature actually wanted to do that. And it's kind of a hypothetical law at this point, even though it's
still
in the
code. Law just passed, and signed by the governor. But at that point, that's what the Supreme Court said, is a hypothetical law. Legislature didn't really mean it. And you know what? I think Governor Reynolds meant it, because what did she do then?
Yeah, immediately called a special session and repassed the exact same law that was passed in 2018. So there we go. Starting another court case.
Yes.
It's passed.
And just a small plug. Governor Reynolds, some of you remember, signed that at the Family Leaders annual summer event. The Family Leadership Summit was a highlight of that event. The governor, the legislators up on stage behind her, the people of the Leadership Summit itself, resoundingly answering the court, yes, saving babies, we mean it. And no hypothetical law here.
Yeah.
This is what we're intending. Okay, so then naturally Planned Parenthood and friends aren't happy with that.
They sued before the law was even signed, which I don't know how you do that, but they found a way and they immediately got an injunction, temporary injunction within a, I think it was like a day or two of it being signed. So it was never really enforced again. And that brings us to our sixth abortion case in 10 years in Iowa. So it's been quite a saga. But
if some of you ever ask the question, you know, why can't we just pass the law? Why can't we just make it happen? This would be why.
We've had some issues. But
Once the courts get involved, ibly.
Yeah. Yep. So the good news was, even though it was enjoined, like we kind of expected it to be, the state was allowed to do what's called an interlocutory appeal, which is they're able to appeal that decision to enjoin the law before there's actually a final decision in the case, which, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is it saved like at least probably a year and a half of time.
In a nutshell, the court allowed the governor to say, hey, speed this thing up.
Yeah.
Get this ball moving. And the court agreed to the governor's request to get the ball moving. And the ball moved on Thursday.
Yes.
Last week.
Yep. And I was at oral argument. It was interesting. I thought it went relatively well, as well as you can expect. We kind of already knew there's going to be one adamant, no, you guys cannot pass abortion laws or laws that protect from abortion. There's two that that was part of the three last time that didn't want to deal with the issue and kind of said some things in that opinion that make you think maybe they're not really going to be with us on this. And then there's four others. So we've got three rock solid good votes, and we've got the mystery, the wild card here, which is Justice Oxley, who did not participate last time. And she asked some interesting questions. Sometimes you try to get a read on the justices based on the questions they ask, which is actually kind of dangerous. You could be misled.
I was going to set you up with a question. I was going to say, so Ryan, because I know your answer already, what's your prediction? How's it going to go, Ryan?
Lawyers don't make predictions, but I try not to follow that rule my first 3 years of being a lawyer, and I've got burned a few times. So I'm going to stop making predictions. But
it's like, I don't know, betting on the horses or whatever. Once you've tried it a few times, you realize my odds of success are not so good. The house seems to always win.
Yes. That's right. So
predicting how, and I laugh about that, and this is obviously no laughing matter. It's a serious matter. We're talking about literally thousands of babies a year whose lives are on the line here. But, and the reality is we don't know.
Yep.
We can't accurately predict. The court is still very split on this. It's probably going to be, I say probably, and even this is pushing my no prediction mantra a little bit, but it's probably going to be a 4-3 split one way or the other. And we don't know. So it's still an item for prayer. We've seen God move before on this issue recently, concretely here in Iowa. We're asking God to do it again so that 4-3 or better goes the direction of saving lives.
Yep. Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, this case is really two things that can happen, and neither one ends the fight here, unfortunately. But one,
even if we win in June, there's probably some more work to do, right?
So in this case, because we got that, bumped up process where we get to appeal before the case is over, the best case scenario is the court sets the rational basis standard, just like every other law that's not a fundamental right, that doesn't deal with fundamental right, and sends it back to the district court to have the case go forward. And now if it is a rational basis, that's going to be a victory in the short term for sure. And that'll be lasting victory, because that'll apply to future cases as well.
Yeah, just to clarify, Ryan's used that word basis a couple times.
Yeah.
And there's different standards of proof or of that a state has to demonstrate when they try to legislate something. If there's a reasonably good reason to do this, such as, I don't know, protecting human life, that would pass the rational basis test. But there are higher standards. For example, if you want to restrict someone's fundamental right to speech or religion, you have to, as a state, if you're going to pass a law, you have to pass a much higher test. Sometimes one of the highest tests is called strict scrutiny.
Correct.
And so, for example, if you want to, if you're a state and you want to pass a law that would restrict freedom of religion, that's often has to face this strict scrutiny test. But
well, now that we have RFRA.
Now that we have RFRA. Yeah. Yes, we've talked about that in other in other episodes. Go back and look more into TFL's Capital Connection.
Yeah.
So we're starting to run out of time here, as I expected the case to be, because this is a huge topic and a lot going on. Ryan, I want to thank you for joining us today. If you want to get into this more, or if we just dropped a big old truth bomb on you and you want to go back and reflect and understand this better, Ryan has written a fantastic article up on our website now about what you need to know about Iowa's heartbeat case. You can go in there and you can look back through the history that we've talked about here today. You can get the lowdown on where it stands now, where it's going, what we can expect. It's all in there. He did a fantastic job. I encourage you to check that out at thefamilyleader.com. Before we sign off, Ryan, is there anything more that, because I did kind of cut you there a little bit, anything more you want to add?
No, that's all right. I mean, really, bottom line is the battle's not over and we need to pray. I mean, that's, I never thought I'd see Roe overturned in my lifetime, and it was, and a lot of people were praying about it. So that's the main thing we can do at this point. So.
Prayers still needed. Thank you for listening today. Check out that article at thefamilyleader.com, and thank you for joining us at TFL's Capital Connection.
This podcast is a project of the Family Leader and the Family Leader Foundation, and is only possible through the generous support of our donors. If you would like to partner with us in our work, please visit thefamilyleader.com/give.